Broadcasting from the confines of an abandoned radio station in the secluded ghost town of High Strangeness, just outside of Area 51. It's time for a full disclosure of the topics they told us were off limits. Hello, everybody. I'm Connie Willis, and this is Coast to Coast AM, live from the 840 WHAS studios of iHeartMedia in Louisville, Kentucky, home of me. I always think of two or three things to say at this point, but you know what? Too much turkey. I just want to say me. I've just had too much turkey. How about you guys? Well, anyway, Connie Willis here on Coast to Coast AM. And tonight, the godfather of BitShares to discuss cryptocurrency, that's Stan Larimer. And also, Mark Sargent is going to be here to talk about Flat Earth and Antarctica. This is going to be an extremely interesting show. I'm looking forward to it. Hope you are as well. Time now to turn off the lights and join me for another interesting evening of conversation, much needed education, and the chance that we might get a little closer to the truth of what lurks amongst us and what is beyond. I'm Connie Willis, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Hello, everybody. You're listening to Coast AM, and I am Connie Willis. Got a great night lined up for us. I hope you guys have had a great holiday weekend, a good turkey day. Ooh, I'm done with turkey. How about you guys? I'm ready for steak or something else. I am done with turkey. I slept pretty well afterwards as well, but I got a lot of turkey sandwiches to go. I love Thanksgiving, and really, again, I hope that you guys had a great one. Just a reminder while I'm thinking about it right now, I so appreciate being on these holiday weekends. They're fun for me. I enjoy them, and I love being a part of it, and I hope that you do as well. In fact, I'll be back on Christmas Eve and also New Year's Eve, and on Christmas Eve, I'm going to have the Bishop James Long there, so we're going to be talking about the miracles of Christmas, and you can ask your questions with him about, well, where does ET fit in here? What about this? Okay, because he's really good about that. You guys know him. Great guy. And New Year's Eve, we're going to find out about all the people that gave all these predictions from last year. And we're going to see if any of them came true. And then we're going to be asking for some new ones. So be prepared, okay, because we're asking you, okay, you, the listener, okay? If you don't know who I am or anything, you can also find me at Blue Rock Talk with Connie Willis. That's my YouTube channel. Have a lot of fun on there, you know, Twitter and all the usual social media as well. But it's Blue Rock Talk with Connie Willis, my YouTube channel. Please subscribe. It's always a lot of fun. In fact, there's something new that I'm on, all the social media out there. There's something called Steam It. And I hope that you guys can be a part of it because it's like a Facebook and it's like a YouTube channel. It's like, you know, you post stuff on there and you can like other people's stuff. Of course, they call like upvoting. And at that point, you can make money. So imagine if, like, you're on Facebook all the time and you do all these posts and you like, you know, everybody's stuff. All those hours, imagine if you made like $50 a day or something. Well, somebody even made $15,000 on a post. Imagine if you did that. I'm bringing that up to you because our next guest is Stan Larimer, the godfather of BitShares. And how he comes into play with all this is his son, Dan Larimer, is the guy that came up with these really great ideas. And then he pulled his dad, Stan, and said, you know, out of retirement, said, Dad, help me out. So that's who we're going to be talking to about these types of things. So let me just give you a little background on Stan. He's known as the godfather of BitShares and the hero. And those in the cryptocurrency world, you may have heard of those or not, but you will tonight, along with some other things as well. Stan has 40 years of experience in software, hardware, and systems engineering. These are program management, business development, and even teaching a rocket science at the United States Air Force Academy. I've been there myself, Colorado Springs, beautiful place. Stan is CEO of Cryptonomics, a leading custom blockchain development company, and he's here to talk with us. He is also on Steam It with me. We follow each other and we upvote each other, and it's a lot of fun. Stan, welcome. First time here on Coast to Coast. How are you?
Thank you, Connie. I'm delighted to be here and full of caffeine, ready to go.
It sounds like it. Oh, my gosh. You're up about 8 octaves there. Well, Stan, I'm happy that you're going to be with us tonight, and thank you very much for being a part of Coast to Coast. It's been fun being a part of learning so much about you in the series that I do where I become Crypto Connie and I talk to you on my channel. But I've learned so much from you And I really am happy to be into the crypto world because I do believe it is the future of finance. And you actually believe it's the future of money, where I guess it might change the dollar. Can you tell us, you know, about that? A lot of people say, no, that's never going to happen, where the dollar's going to end. Do you think that there's that it might?
Oh, yeah, I'm afraid that the dollar's days are numbered. Yeah, there'll be something else that replaces it, and I don't think that cryptocurrencies are going to replace whatever the governments of the world come up with. But the dollar has been stressed pretty bad over the past 100 years. And, of course, people have been predicting the collapse of the dollar for quite a long time now, most of my life. So, you know, it's hard to predict exactly when that might happen, but it could be as early as next year.
Yeah, I've heard you say that, 2018. Wow, that's coming pretty quick. So what is cryptocurrency? Is that the same as digital currency? What is it all about? Because I think only like 1% of the world even knows about it, or they're a part of it. But that 1% is doing pretty well financially.
Well, yeah, it's been around now since about 2009. Cryptocurrency is a kind of digital currency. And of course, everybody's familiar with digital currency. You go onto your online checking account and you type in to send a check to somebody, and it goes electronically around the world. And you know, that's digital currency, just ones and zeros stored in some central bank account that records how much money everybody has. The only difference with cryptocurrencies is it's decentralized, spread out to lots of computers all around the world, and there's no central point of control. And so if there was one important thing to remember about cryptocurrencies, is that they're decentralized, and they're essentially a freedom play, because there's always this constant battle between the forces that want to centralize everything into a, you know, central control of the whole world, and the forces that don't want that to happen for pretty good reasons.
Well, when you say decentralized, what's that mean?
Well, you know, I guess it comes clear back to the days of George Washington. He had two famous guys in his cabinet, Thomas Jefferson and Alexander Hamilton, and they shared opposite views of you know, how money should work. Hamilton wanted it all under central federal control, and Jefferson wanted it decentralized out to, you know, the 13 states at that time. And he didn't want there to be too much power in the hands of just a few people. And so that battle has continued on for the entire life of our country, and probably a lot longer into the past than that. And today, it's not a battle between the states and the federal government. It's whether we're going to have national currencies or one world currency. And if it was scary to Thomas Jefferson to centralize things at the federal level, you can imagine what he would think about a one world currency.
And you know, that's where people say, I hear a lot of the conspiracy theorists, they say, oh, the New World Order, got to be careful about that stuff happening. However, and I thought, well, maybe that's what the cryptocurrency is. Is that what it is? But everybody tells me, no, it's the exact opposite. I've asked you about that, and Gerald Celente as well. And everybody says, no, the Bitcoin and all these, this cryptocurrency is all the opposite of the New World Order.
Well, I would say that's our intention, but like any invention, it can be used for good or evil. And certainly the big banks out there are in a hurry to start using the technologies that we use to decentralize things to centralize them. When you talk to a bank, the first thing they want to do is say, hey, I want to use that new so-called blockchain technology, but we got to have it controlled all by our bank. Well, you know, that defeats the whole purpose, because the goal is of that technology is to have as many different points of control as possible. Ideally, individual peer-to-peer, where Stan and Connie can transact without any middlemen. And of course, the banks are all about being the middlemen for the whole world. And so, you know, that's where the battle will be. And it'll be a big battle, maybe as soon as next year.
Yeah. And I'm amazed too. I know a lot of people that they're into these Bitcoins, they're into all, I mean, there's a bazillion of them out there with all different names. But I found that a lot of people believe that all their stuff is secretive and nobody's going to know because there's not a middleman. It's all run by computers. However, it's actually very transparent. You can see what anybody has done. Now, I guess some people can, they don't have to put like I've got a wallet, BitShares wallet, and it's Connie-Willis. So anybody can send me money under Connie-Willis under the BitShares. But if I wanted to stay to where nobody knew who I was, I could, because of this world, I could say I'm anteater number one or something, you know, crazy like that, and people wouldn't know it was me. There could be a way for them to track it down. But basically, a lot of people do think they're kind of undercover when I think it's the most transparent system I've seen, because you can find out every transaction anybody makes. And even on the Steemit.com. And we'll talk about that. But even on that, you know what everybody has in their wallet with when it comes to the currency. You know exactly what they've said, when they've said it, who's replied back to them. And the Steemit.com is like that Facebook, and it's this social media platform where you can like somebody's work, their content, and you can be giving them some money, and they can give you back money. And this is one of the many ideas from Stan's son, Dan Larimer, who has put some really neat things on this blockchain. Do you want to talk a little bit about your son?
Well, yeah, I guess, yeah.
Yes, Dad.
He he started out back when Bitcoin was first invented. He comes on the scene around 2010, about the first year of Bitcoin. And you can find records of him talking to the inventor of Bitcoin, Satoshi Nakamoto. At that time, he was just the learner, and Satoshi was the master. But these days, after inventing several revolutions in digital currency, I would say that Dan is one of the very top masters of this technology. His software currently processes over half of all the digital currency transactions on public blockchains in the world in terms of record transactions per day. So it's been quite a fun time watching that evolve as he's done one revolutionary invention after another over the past, oh, I guess he's been at it since 2013 in terms of an active contributor.
Well, you got to imagine that a dad with a background of yours, and then having a son that where a lot of dads would go, here's baseball, here's football. You said, here's a computer, son. Do what you do with this, or not. Am I wrong, or?
Oh, I've got a picture of him 2 years old sitting on my lap pounding on a Radio Shack computer keyboard. So, yeah, we broke him in at a very young age.
I love that. I love that. I think the younger a child is, and you give them anything, even a piano, whatever it is, and they're just gonna take it away, not even thinking too hard that, you know, they're having to learn something. I think it just becomes innate at that point. So
Yeah,
happy.
introduce it to him when it's fun and it's a game. And, you know, by the time he was 12 years old, he was programming simple video games on a Macintosh. And
Oh, wow.
then went off, got himself a little training at Virginia Tech, and Katie bar the door.
Wow. Well, some of the things is, and if you can give people just a quick idea, Steemit is one. How would you describe Steemit?
Well, Steemit is Dan's second invention, and what he wanted to do with that was to create a social media platform where the money came into existence as a payment for people publishing or critiquing and commenting on people's posts. You know, one of the big things about digital currency is how does it get introduced in a fair manner at a slow and steady rate? And Bitcoin had a form of lottery system that was good for geeks to, you know, set up their computers and, you know, start competing to win a few coins every 10 minutes. And then Dan wanted to, with the Steemit system, make it so more people could participate. And one of the things that they can certainly do is either write good content and publish it, or comment on that and help people find that good content. So Steemit is a way of issuing a type of currency called Steem. It's now has gotten to the point where it is the number one most used blockchain in the world, running more peak transactions per day than Bitcoin and Ethereum, the two most well-known chains combined. It's been quite successful, and it's a lot of fun. And that's what I use to publish all of my various things. And I've noticed you've come on and started using it too.
So we're
both having a lot of fun with it.
I am. It is fun. And I encourage people to get on there too. It's a lot of fun. We follow each other and we give each other a nickel. It's cool. I'm at Blue Rock Talk and Stan's at Stan. And it really is fun. I know it's still in beta is what it says, but it really is a fun thing to do. I mean, I've promoted that I'm going to be here on Coast to Coast. And I think I know somebody made $15,000. I've not made $15,000 on a post. But I certainly, you know, that's a goal. But you said that Steemit was Dan's second one. What was his first one, BitShares?
Yeah, BitShares was the very first thing he did. Starting back in 2013, he got some investment funding from a well-known investor in China. And that investor sent us a bunch of Bitcoin, which we took. It only took about an hour for that Bitcoin to get the whole way from China over here. Then it took another hour for us to send it to an exchange in London, convert it to dollars, and then it took the banking systems several days to wire it back to us to where we could start paying people. So that was my first exposure to digital currencies. We got paid in Bitcoin to develop BitShares.
Oh, that turned out okay for you though, didn't it?
Well, yeah, it's been a lot of fun because I mentioned the 1 hour. Now Bitcoin's a little bit of a victim of its own success. It's got so many people using it that it can actually slow down. The network is really saturated right now, so they sort of have to ration access to it by whoever wants to pay the most to send money through the system. So, you know, when you wire money, that banks might charge you $30. And nowadays, if you want to go to the head of the line on the Bitcoin network, you might have to pay $3 or something. On the BitShares network, that's 3 cents. Bitcoin sort of slowed down to where it might take several hours to get there at peak loading times. I've even had it take more than a day because it's getting loaded. That's the thing BitShares came along to do, and it's guaranteed to accomplish it in 3 seconds. So BitShares is sort of like the next generation of the technology. Bitcoin was the original Model T, and BitShares is probably more like a Starship by comparison. Both of them are serving their purpose. Bitcoin has a market cap of like $120 billion right now. BitShares is like less than 1% of that. But it provides a lot more bandwidth. Bitcoin, you might think of as a footbridge across a canyon, and BitShares is a superhighway. So that sort of puts the two of them in perspective. And of course, there's probably 1,000 other digital currencies out there that have various reasons their designers created them, and lots of things to keep track of.
Yeah, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that in detail after this break. Right before we take our break, though, Stan, I just want to make sure, I had said that you worked with NASA, but you are a NASA contractor, correct? I want to just clear that up.
Yeah, I worked for Lockheed Martin, and they had a contract with NASA to do Mars rover designs, and so that's what I worked on.
How cool is that? And I'm looking forward to talking to the Flat Earth guy, Mark Sargent, later on tonight. And we're going to ask him if he thinks there's a Mars rover out there, because Stan's got his name on there somewhere, and Stan believes that it is. And we'll see what Mark Sargent says, right? I'm looking forward to that. Stan, you stick around. We're going to ask you more about the Bitcoin and what it's all about and what we expect in the future and the neat little things to, you know, how to apply these coins. I mean, that's the really cool part about it. And what is a blockchain? More of that coming up here, learning about cryptocurrencies here. Connie Willis and a little Michael Jackson there I can hear on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. Connie Willis here discussing a cryptocurrency with the godfather of BitShares, Stan Larimer. Stan, what is cryptocurrency basically? And what is the Bitcoin? And tell us how we can apply this.
Well, Connie, first I've got to congratulate you for a brilliant choice of bumper music. Money for nothing. you know, that is the cryptocurrency theme song. You know, that's the thing that powers the growing interest, because what you do with digital currencies is you discover them before they get discovered by anybody else, and you get some for basically free at a very low price, and then you hope the price is going to go up, like with Bitcoin, by a factor of a couple thousand.
Yes.
It's not unusual for digital currencies to go up by factors of 10. I think BitShares is up by about a factor of 40 this year so far. So, yeah, you could think of that as money for nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, and people have done extremely well, Stan. I mean, with that Bitcoin going up to what? Did it reach 10,000 or just what? I saw it at 8,000 and above that. But did it reach 10,000?
No, on this particular peak, it's just crossed up to 8,000 for a little while. Holy and cow. Now it's back in the 7,000 range. But, you know, just earlier this summer, it was we were wondering when it was going to make 5,000. So, you know, they're certainly undergoing a really impressive surge. It's doubled a couple times this year alone. And like I said, over the past 3 or 4 years, a factor of 1,000. Where else can you get that kind of return on your money?
I know. And who is it that's jumping aboard on this cryptocurrency? Is it the geeks out there because they know about it? Is it the folks that like to, is it the Wall Street guys? Who is it? I know I want to learn about it because I'm just amazed at what I'm seeing with it.
Well, the first wave was indeed geeks who, you know, were intrigued by it because they could download some software and run it on their computer, and it would just sit there and basically compete with all the other computers in the world to get some of the Bitcoins that are being handed out every 10 minutes. After a couple of years, entrepreneurs of every stripe started getting interested in it, and speculators who wanted to get into it and bet on what the next coin is, and software developers who wanted to make some slight change to the Bitcoin code and hopefully create something that would grow like Bitcoin. And there have been all kinds of things. Some were just a copy of Bitcoin code with another cute name, but then it got to Dan Larimer, and he started putting entire companies onto that same kind of technology. And now it's become a veritable arms race out there to put every type of business model you can on. And that has led to other companies, I mean, big, ordinary, human-run companies who want to put their whole business models on top of one network or another. So it's about to explode into the mainstream this coming year, I expect.
Yeah, okay. So when I think about cryptocurrency, I think of, okay, there's this coin, and people trade the coin, and they can only make so many of these coins, so we don't have to worry about inflation, but it's a coin, and that's what I'm thinking. However, it's not that, right? There are just coins. However, there's this thing called the blockchain that everything runs upon it, right? And that means it's all computer-driven, and there's no people in between. It's all unmanned. But you don't have to just trade a coin and different coins, but you can apply it, like the steam it with the social media and using the currency, and your own business. That's what's unique to me. Tell me more about that.
Well, there's been every type of thing imaginable. One of the big chains out there called Ethereum was designed so that people could program their own smart contracts, which are basically instead of just keeping track of who owns the coin, you can put an agreement between two people on the blockchain that will, and a blockchain is another name for a network of honest robots out there that are going to make sure nobody cheats. They're the referees on the thing. And so you turn over to control of those robots the decision of who gets the money when some event happens in the world. And so if the two people agree to that and write a little piece of code that runs on that network, and the robots execute that code and decide who gets the money at the end of some period of time or when some financial event happens in the world. So that's the smart contract part. You've already mentioned that you can do things like social media, but you could do a voting system. And one company did put on the BitShares network a complete system for running national elections and
oh,
having
wow.
it be completely fair and honest.
And we need that.
what Dan Larimer is working on right now is a super scalable system called EOS. EOS, it's like an operating system for building blockchains on, and it's totally programmable, unlimited number of transactions per second, and that's not where he's done. He wants to get where it can take over a lot of the functions normally that governments do, but do it without corruption. So that's his ultimate goal is
wow.
to move as many things out of the hands of corruptible humans and into the hands of honest robots.
I love hearing that because, you know, it's kind of weird. I mean, maybe this is just my mind and the way I see it. But, you know, like you had the Kennedys and the Bushes and the Trumps and the, you know, you have these families, these dynasty type families. And I see that with the Larimores. I mean, I think that's a big deal that father, son, I mean, that Larimore name is a big deal. I see that as big. I don't see that as, you know, small time. I see that as big. And I just, you know, I know it's, you know, more in the future now. I don't know. It's all happening. But I just have a very, very good feel with you guys of something really gigantic coming from this. Otherwise, I wouldn't have asked for you guys to be on. I just really feel that there's some really good things going to come from you and your son. I mean, obviously, it already has. Your son has done some really wonderful things. And he's pulled you. He's been able to pull you out of retirement to work and be the godfather of BitShares. And you are wonderful at it. But I just feel really big things happening. And I think it's really cool. I'm glad to be a part of it. I'm glad that you guys are a part of it here at Coast as well now, because I just really feel something really big coming from this. Now, I'm no psychic, but I don't know. So I just wanted to say that. So I have it on the record.
well, thank you.
I just feel that way.
Dan and Stan Larimer would love to remain invisible. If it wasn't for the necessity of getting out and telling people about this stuff, we would like to remain anonymous. But if you're anonymous, then how do people learn to trust what you're building? You know, how do you build a group of people who passionately want to pursue it? You know, if you are, well, I guess it still works. Satoshi Nakamoto is a mystery. No one knows who he is, and Bitcoin's doing good. But
And that started... I mean, really tiny. I guess there was something about giving away pizzas at the beginning. Is that right? And now somebody said he's estimated like $7 billion that he has somewhere. Is that right?
Well, he's never moved that. And it's for all we know, he's dead. But he hasn't touched his stash that he originally mined. And you can see it out there on the blockchain and know that it's still there and hasn't moved. But he, somewhere along the lines, decided that he didn't want to be famous. It's not even clear that it's a single person because you know, there are some theories that think it was just a name used by the group that developed it. But there was at least somebody who published under the name Satoshi Nakamoto, because back in 2010, Dan talked to him online, and you can still see it today, where the two of them were chatting about a technical issue of some sort. Back at that time.
Isn't that something? That's like the old kung fu and the, you know, grasshopper and the master kind of thing, isn't it?
It sure was back then, that's for sure.
Oh my gosh. So you're saying that Well, how did this all even begin? I mean, I remember hearing about it once before and I thought, oh, come on, what is this? Just like most people, right?
Well, yeah, a lot of people, very important people that I respect, people who advocate honest money and precious metals and so on. And their big complaint is that digital currencies like Bitcoin and BitShares are not backed by anything. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Here's how Bitcoin got its value is initially it was released just sort of as an experiment, a little piece of software that would track who owned a limited number of tokens, which are just like poker chips, you might think of them. And Satoshi Nakamoto suggested, maybe this could be a currency someday. And that caused a few people to say, well, maybe I ought to mine as many as I can and buy them up cheap where I could get 1,000 of them for a penny or something. And so they started, trading them and back and forth. And as people began to speculate, the price got up to where it was worth a few cents a coin. And at that point, the famous pizza incident came up where somebody said, if I get enough of these, I can send them to someplace else in the world and pay for a pizza. And he spent what would be millions of dollars worth of bitcoins today to buy that pizza. But he demonstrated that you could transfer value from one place in the world to another and do it faster than the banks could. So at that point, it wasn't just speculation, there was real utility. And that started generating demand from other people who wanted to get some in order to do that very same function. And the more people kept competing for this limited supply, the more the value went up. And that's where it got to today. People want bitcoins now because of their utility. And there's still speculation going on, but it's backed by the same kind of value as a share of Microsoft stock or Apple stock or Exxon stock, right? You could say that they're not backed by anything either, but they are because those companies have real utility. People want to own them because they can earn money.
I know some people that were dealing with it, and they said they knew they were playing it. They were playing the game of it. They were buying it, and they were watching it. And they said, "I knew it. I wanted it to be real." And they said, "I knew it was real when I was able to buy something off Amazon with it." And I think maybe you said it, maybe someone else said it, but there's going to be, or maybe they already are, like coffee shops where you come in, you buy your coffee with Bitcoin or some sort of cryptocurrency. I mean, is that what we expect to see in the future or is already happening now?
Oh, there are places that do that for sure. But what's going to happen in the future is you won't have to go to a merchant and say, do you take Bitcoin? Because it'll be built into the point of sale terminals to take a whole variety of different digital currencies,
I love
whatever kind
it.
you like. And so at that point, it won't matter so much whether you have Bitcoin or BitShares or a doggy coin or whatever. Because that'll all get converted automatically by the point of sale terminals, and the merchant will get whatever currency he or she wants to have.
I like that. I know, like with the BitShares, it's basically a banking and checking account. I can save money in there if I want. I can trade the coins if I want. I can, like, what was it called? Like a home equity loan. I can borrow against my coins, and I can cash out whenever I want. I can have a debit card, right? And some other ones do that too, right? But I mean, that's now. That's not in a couple of years. That's now.
Yeah, it's a complete digital currency exchange,
Love it.
decentralized. There's no man in the middle. You can trade against other people with just the robots watching over it. And a smart coin factory, hundreds and hundreds of different coins of all different types are executing on that same network and can trade against each other without any humans in the loop. And that's very powerful because it doesn't centralize things to where the man in the middle can play games like front running your trades or doing fractional reserve trading where maybe they're doing a little money printing inside the exchange. All of that's very visible and transparent on honest robot control, as opposed to if you go to a typical digital currency exchange out there, you don't really know what's happening. You're giving them your money and then trading on their centralized system while they hold on to your money. With BitShares and all the coins that ride on that network, you don't lose control of your coins. You can offer them to trade with somebody, and then the robots will take care of making sure that that trade occurs simultaneously in a swap for some other coin that you guys would want to trade. And there's nobody in the middle pulling any funny business.
And the banks, if they want to, they can freeze your account at any time.
Well, that's right. I mean, how many of us have experienced you wire money to a bank or you deposit a check and they tell you you can't have your money for 3 days because the truth is they want to use it and make money for 3 days before they give it to you. But they pretend that they got other reasons why, you know, we got to wait for it to clear or whatever. But it's all basically a money-making system for the man in the middle. And what that causes is economic friction, because every time they slow down somebody's transaction, business is slowing down. Whereas with the BitShares blockchain, it takes 3 seconds for two businesses to interact and conclude a deal anywhere in the world. And that's zero friction. And think of what the economic prosperity would be if that got adopted as a replacement for the archaic and somewhat nefarious current banking system that wants to profit from every transaction.
I'm absolutely loving it. I love what I hear. I just I want to know more about how to apply these things and how companies can use them with some examples. So we're going to be back here shortly. Stan, hang in there with us, okay? We're going to be back. We're talking with Stan Larrimore, the godfather of BitShares. We're learning about cryptocurrencies, and this is where I become Crypto Connie. It's so interesting to me. It is out of the box thinking. And it is not tomorrow, but it's today. More to come here on Coast to Coast AM.